This is Hacking the Afterlife Podcast with Jennifer Schaefer.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hello, Richard.
How are you?
I am doing okay. Fabulous right now. It's your birthday.
It's my birthday.
It's your birthday.
And so for my birthday, our podcast is just going to focus on you.
Sorry, guys.
And it's also an anniversary of a sort, because we've been doing this for 8 years, and this same couch, your same office, Manhattan Beach, we started so many moons ago.
I said in his card today that I wrote him, I said, thank you for answering your DM from Facebook, because I'm like, hey, listen to one of your books, and I'm here, I'm down in Manhattan Beach, and you're in Santa Monica.
Well, it is amazing. It's very unusual. We were talking about it over lunch, the idea that we've been doing this for so long and we have these unusual conversations, and your ability to communicate with people on the flip side is just, I don't know, it's profound. And my ability to ask annoying questions
is profound.
Is what makes us peas in a pod.
Yes.
So, birthdays.
Yeah, Luana is already saying happy birthday.
So our friend on the flip side, Luana Anders.
And she showed me that picture on your fridge.
So Luana Anders passed away in 1996 and has become our moderator on the flip side.
Yeah. She's had 1,000 birthdays with you, it feels like. Before me, she celebrated your birthday many times over.
So, Luana, you're the person behind the VIP rope. You have the clipboard of who gets
in
to speak to us.
She says it's much more than that now.
And how so?
There's dimensions and dimensions of ropes now because of the intergalactic side that we've also talked to. So she's showing me other beings that have come in. She's like, it's not just here. It's also elsewhere.
Well, that's interesting, Luana. What do you mean?
I haven't seen that.
What do you mean in terms of multiple levels of people who want to talk to people on Earth? Is that what you mean?
Yep.
So when you tapped your nose, that means that's right on the money.
It was the first time I saw, like, what's her name? The one with all the arms.
Ma Durga, the teacher with eight arms.
I saw her next to the rope with, and then saw different colors of different other species next to the rope of people that were from here.
Okay, very good.
But it's all the same.
All the same. So, Luana, is there someone of this unusual side of the group that wants to speak to us today? And I'm including aliens or people that look like them.
What's funny is because she's showing me you in my mind's eye, like your higher self wants to speak to you. That is funny.
All right, that's fine. That's allowed. Let's put me in the chair. Now, just for people tuning in for the first or last time, we all come to the planet with a certain portion of our
consciousness. It's actually your council.
It's my council wants to talk to me. Oh, I'm in trouble. So, but I just want to explain, the last book, Divine Councils in the Afterlife, I accessed or helped people to access their, everybody has a council. Mm-hmm. I have my own. I met them for the first time when I did my first hypnotherapy session. I've talked about them in the books. But
they're excited about your new book. That's why they brought everything through.
Okay.
They're very excited about your new book.
So Jennifer knows that I've just finished this book, I think yesterday, in terms of, I have to do some more editing. And Luana is referencing it by pointing out there's people in other realms.
Right.
So council members, which part of my council is there anybody that wants to talk? Or was it just a group message?
It's somebody from the 15th dimension.
From the 15th dimension. All right, very good.
I'm not going to judge it. I thought it was from the 5th, and they said, no, the 15th.
The 15th.
And let's see where that goes.
Could they come forward and take the chair that we have in our classroom so we can sort of focus on questions and answers?
It's 5 from the 15th.
It's 5. Okay. For fans of our podcast, we know who 5 is. He's the librarian.
That's funny.
So please, would you mind taking a seat or do you prefer to stand? It's up to you.
He's like, they're a little bit, the director's chair is a little bit high for me, but that's fine.
okay, Jennifer, please, because you, as a medium, that's you're so able funny. To see things. And what is, how is he presenting himself to you?
The same way that he always does, like the little Yoda thing that we just, you know, a little bit, but not with Yoda, but just his height.
Not his face.
Right,
not for his the people
face.
Driving in their car. But his height?
More like a little elf.
Like an elf.
Looks like an elf.
So kind of describe that. Does he have pointy ears or?
He has pointy ears and his hair's like all weird.
His hair's all strange, okay.
Yeah.
So five, please describe him. What does he look like?
He always shows me the back of his head. So he has just this like curly, unwavy hair, brown hair. It's like, and he just has these pointy ears. And he's a little short and he looks like, like an elf from the back.
Does he have any color to his skin or?
Just regular, like our coloring.
Oh, regular. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Because we've never asked this question. Yeah. Is he wearing any kind of outfit or?
Just like an old librarian slash elf outfit. Like the knickers with the white socks.
Almost leprechaunian.
Almost leprechaunian.
So, five.
Like it. Like he has like the, one of those circle.
A monocle.
Boxes. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, a monocle. Okay. Five, let me ask you, what's the purpose of the monocle?
To show that I'm a librarian.
Ah, so you were able to look at things more carefully. What do you want to say? Because look, I can explain to our audience who you are and where you come from, but you obviously have a message. Is it for me or is it for our audience?
If it's for you, it's for the audience too.
Thank you.
That's what he said.
He always corrects me.
I don't know that.
It's
just funny.
No, it's just funny. He is very specific about what he's trying to say. So it's for me and the audience. What would you like to tell us?
That there's no time to waste in connecting with your loved ones. They're here to help and guide you through whatever you may be going through.
So recently I've been editing you, Five, because you are going
a little too much.
You're going to appear in this book. It's called Close Encounters of the Flip Side Kind, How to Phone Home. And in within our...
That's why it's so perfect.
Well, we've done a lot of conversation about how to speak telepathically to people on the other side. For example, Jennifer doesn't see your lips moving while she's talking to you. So it's like a dream.
Yeah.
And so... people have a real hard time trying to understand how you can bypass filters to talk to people. Go ahead.
He's showing me the Peter Pan movie, like the kid and the sister, like
Wendy
flying.
And Peter
yeah.
Pan flying. What do you mean? That's what we're doing or what people should do?
That's what you're doing. We're kind of flying around, I guess.
So in a sense...
extracting information from the ethers. Yeah.
In a sense, Jennifer and I, sort of Wendy and Peter, get up and fly out of our house, go to Never Never Land.
He just showed me how, he just reminded me of my daughter calling me a ghost on a leash. It's kind of
ghost
like
on a leash. That's a pretty good one. But we go to Never Never Land where you are, correct?
Don't get that confused with Michael Jackson's.
No. Oh, okay, very good. Very but funny.
It's,
Five
it's
has a sense
same. Of... all the same.
All the same. Five does have a sense of humor.
I didn't even know if that was his...
That's very funny. No, we won't get it confused, but we come to where you are so we can ask you, because you've said in the
book... let's figure out how that works. Like, is it me going to you, or do you pick...
Yeah, tell us, how does that work?
We put in a thought, and he goes, thunk. And then it's like having a tracking system that goes directly to them. It's interesting.
And you talked about it. I was editing this yesterday. You were talking about the way to communicate. Before you go to sleep, you might put the intention when your heart, I think you said that was the key, put it in your heart to go visit where
that's
I...
That's your real tracking system.
That's your real tracking system, your heart. To go where I am elsewhere. That's the way you put it. I want to go where I am elsewhere.
Right, but then he's saying that you can also... show me again. You feel your way through. So you might have a feeling. And so they're going through the same, like the process that we tell people. Like some people feel it. Some people see it. Some people, I wouldn't recommend saying you hear it, but some people watch it like a movie. So everybody has different interpretations of what Every person is different in the way they communicate to begin with.
So in essence, you're saying people come to visit you, but they will see you and the Akashic Library not the way we do, but the way they do.
Correct.
And so, and we've told, and we're telling people that the way to access you, and you're like a let's just put it this way, you're somebody of great wisdom, correct?
Thinking is truly believing. I am not only the wisdom keeper, I allow anyone who wants it to get to it.
And when you say you're
It's an all-access pass.
It's an all-access pass.
Yeah.
All right, very good. And so when you say you're coming in from the 15th dimension, are you joking, or is that literally where you hang out?
I was in higher dimensions without a hierarchy.
In higher
15,
dimensions without
just
a hierarchy.
To get me to 5 and to get me to him.
Say again.
So 15, by the 15th dimension, him showing me dimensions, made it to where it was easier for me to get to him.
I see.
That's why he did it. I felt the 15th dimension. I was trying to figure out, like, was it the 5th or the 15th? It was the 15th dimension, and then he showed me himself. So I felt into it, and then I saw him. And then I'm like, oh, it's 5.
So our conversations with you 5 have included looking at Akashic Libraries, accessing people's previous lifetimes. This new book talks about people recalling lifetimes on other planets. And Luana's mentioning that there's people in our guest list who are from other planets. Do you want to talk about that at all?
It's very complex and complicated. Oh. He's referencing what we talked about in lunch and how trees, how their system, like it goes way deeper from all. That's so interesting. Hold on, let me just see if I'm getting it right. I'm like, are trees in a different dimension than we are? And he's like, no, it's in the same dimension as you. But they have access to way more than we do because they believe it and they see it.
Because they're aware of it.
Right.
At lunch, we were talking about Dr. Gali.
Hence the way he looks like a leprechaun, like the fairy realm.
How so?
He looks like a leprechaun. I think the fairy, you know, the fairies live in the trees, right? And they live in the flowers. Like, they live in a different dimension within our dimension. And so that's what he was discussing, how there's a whole system that's just, you know, that we discussed a little bit about how they talk to each other.
We were talking about Dr. Galliano in Australia, who has done extensive research, National Geographic covered some of it, New York Times, where she's discovered how many plants are able to communicate with each other, including corn and all this other stuff. And so trees, and we've heard that in the research, that trees are much deeper, because of course some of them live 5,000 years, they're more aware of more things. So what is it you want to tell us vis-a-vis trees?
And now they're showing up in my readings too, which is very interesting.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, they just showed me Robert Town, how that tree in his yard was so specific, so significant.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Robert Town, the screenwriter, we were talking to his nanny,
right,
who he hadn't seen since 1950, and she was saying that it terrified her every time he went up to climb on the tree in the backyard.
Yeah.
Which gave him evidence for his being aware that you could speak to people who no longer on the
planet. Not just animals, like Hira.
Not just like his dog. But that idea that we all can. So let me ask you, 5, in terms of a person just going into the forest, what would be an appropriate way to communicate with the tree?
Listening.
So putting your hands on and allowing whatever comes to mind?
Putting your hands on your heart, either visually seeing the tree in front of you or the trees. Focus in on one or a few of them. And see what they communicate back. And it could be, they communicate back. I know I just saw an orange. Oh, that's interesting. That would be related to my grandfather who owned a citrus company. Or they could show a bird, or they could show something. It could be something that gets shown that could also represent people that are around us. And a lot of times it's true. A lot of times I get trees that I'm like, well, there's this tree in your backyard, and you're seeing this bird, or you're seeing this butterfly, or you're seeing... So they are always in my readings, actually.
Well, let's ask five. Do the trees, can they influence behavior, human behavior, or do they just sort of observe us?
They influence human behavior. Oh, if you are taking care of them, they bring you fruit and berries. If you are destroying them, they take away your breath.
They take away your breath. Wow. Because, of course, they are the ones who supply us with oxygen. It's beyond me why anyone would cut down a tree. I mean, it's literally the lungs of the planet. Why would you make it harder to breathe?
It's Gaia. It's what I put in. It's my, again, I just got shown. I put that into my mother's eulogy about how she was born on Earth Day and how she represents Gaia, which is also, could be the tree or whatever, you know. It's
tree of life,
like,
yeah.
The tree of life. And how that's, my mom was like that, and how it feeds the children, you know. That's interesting. Again, now I'm fascinated, well, I was fascinated before, but I'm fascinated, did I think of the tree first? Is the tree communicating to me, or is the people in the afterlife communicating to me about that? You know, it's interesting.
Well, it is weird, because sometimes doing a guided meditation, if somebody says they can see a tree, or they are in a grove or something, I'll ask them to go up and address the, and it's a mental construct because they're thinking of trees, they're seeing yeah. trees, but as they go up and talk to them, they hear things they aren't aware of
right.
and learn new information. So, five, for you to show up and encourage me to continue writing, you know, stories about talking to other beings and plants and animals, what else do you want to talk to us about?
That's it.
Now, the last time you were with Jennifer, you took her and her family for a trip to the Akashic Library.
He said thank you, and I said thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. What did you mean?
No, I just told him thank you for his wisdom. That's a lot of stuff to unpack still for me.
And he also had you guys strap into a vehicle to go visit him in the Akashic Library. And
yeah.
But he said, you know, you don't need a vehicle, but it's just kind of fun.
It's
fun presentation.
Kind of fun.
And then he shoved you. He shoved you back.
Yeah.
Because he had to go back to work. So when you went back to work, five, what do you go back and do? What is it you're doing over there?
The same thing that we're doing over here, trying to communicate.
You also talked about the...
He's also giving you information, like he gives you information to write in your books and vice versa. It's interesting.
So like a loop.
A loop.
Back and forth. You talked about taking care of books as if they were your children.
They are. They're the trees.
The trees of everyone's lives.
Yeah.
They're like the leaves, or no?
Metaphorically as well as mentally.
As well as mentally.
Specifically.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating. Okay. Are you telling me you have to go back to work?
That's all you can take with you. You can't take anything with you.
Other than your memories.
Your memories, your wisdom, your love, your hatred. You're wanting to do this all over again with a more spectacular play, he's showing me.
Very good. And Luana, so what's going on? Have you had conversations with five?
They're celebrating your birthday. 6'9".
6'9". Well, let me ask you this, Pisces, right? Let me ask you this, Luana. You talked about different realms of people. Do they want to come and speak in our class, or is it just they're observing?
They're always speaking to us. We just might not be able to identify them right away. Besides me, but they must, you know, they're always, consciousness is always speaking to us, whether you're unconscious of it or not.
Aware of it or not, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Luana, what would be an example, if you don't mind? Somebody... To Jennifer or me, somebody from another realm is trying to communicate with us.
What?
Go ahead.
So what if Prince was talking to us, but what if it really was his piano? What if really the piano was from a tree that wanted to talk to us, that gave us some wisdom and insight, but it showed up as Prince?
And does that happen, Lou? Is that some kind of a... version of it, or is it all about frequency?
Yes, it's twofold. Prince shared the frequency because he was tied to the, he was connected to the frequency of the piano, right?
And guitar?
That's it, right. So whatever he's ringing through is all of his all the frequencies that are tied to him. It doesn't really, it's one voice. Wow. Hold on, I saw that somewhere. Hold on. We're all just one voice, technically.
I was looking that up the other day. It's the idea of oneness. Yeah. You know, people talk about that, the interconnectivity of all people. We've heard it quite often in the research. People are like Christmas tree lights. They're all connected at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I found a description of something called an oceanic experience, meaning you feel like you're part of an ocean of love,
yeah,
of connectivity.
The floating. It's the floating in the ocean.
So, but let's ask Prince this question. So this, the idea that you're not only the frequency of who you are, mm-hmm, vibrating, colors are frequencies, light's frequency.
Right. And what color is associated to Prince? Don't say purple.
And then you've got guitars, which are wood.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Sometimes not. Pianos, wood. Sometimes. So are you saying that the interconnectivity...
Well, okay, so I was shown something that was very interesting because I have a client that has this very deep connection with this cottage. And I was shown something by Tina Turner. She has a connection to my client. And how she says, don't forget places and cottages, because that's what I found out yesterday. They have a connection. It might not be from this lifetime, but it could be from a lifetime before. Even though I can't prove it or anything like that. But we have connections to places that we've been before, even if we're not conscious of the timing or why or how.
Or why or how, yeah. Like, well, yeah. Now, Luana, you're friends with Tina. And is that an accurate description of her? Because she had a place in Switzerland. Had she been there before?
Many times. It was like her home.
So seeing it again now, Luana, please explain déjà vu.
Vu jade.
Or déjà nu, as I like to call it. But the idea of you feel you're in a place, it refers to this, you're in a place, you feel like you've been there before. Mm-hmm. Is it because your blueprints are intersecting in that location?
Not because your blueprints are intersecting. It's a familiarity. Good or bad. It could be either. Because there's times where you go to a place and you're like, oh, I can't be there. You know.
Or people that you meet.
Right.
I don't want to be around that person. And you don't realize it's because you had an interaction with them that was negative in a previous journey.
Right.
But conversely, there's the love at first sight aspect.
Isn't that a show?
But that idea of,
yeah,
it's past tense when you meet somebody that you feel like you've known forever.
Right. Right. That happens a lot too.
So.
Yeah.
But it's also that thing of being off stage and then on stage. Now, Luana, I spoke to one of your friends today on the phone. Do you want to talk to Jennifer about that?
Hot Lips just came in and said happy birthday to you.
Hello, so, Sally Kellerman. Thank you so much. Very good friend.
She loves you so much. She's like squeezing you really hard.
Ow!
And she brought you chocolates this time.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Randall Kleiser and I would bring her chocolates all the time.
Yeah.
You're going to bring me chocolates today?
And so she brought you chocolates, and now your buddy, your other buddy, well, no. You have two to... Chuck is here.
Charles Groden's here.
Charles,
okay, very good.
Is here. And so is... he blocks me every time just to make
Bill Paxton.
Yes, Bill.
Bill blocks
it's not
you.
Not even fair.
From remembering his name.
Oh,
what?
Kobe. He came for me. Hold on. Thank you. I read someone close to him, and he just said thank you. I read someone last week.
Oh, very good. Close to Bill?
Close to Kobe.
Okay, very good. Yeah. So, Billy, what do you want to say? You have the floor, sir.
He's just making fun of me. Hold on. He's singing happy birthday to you.
All right, I don't mean to cut you off. Chuck, what do you want to say? Somebody sent me a picture of you and somebody else.
If I was here, I would be the one taking you out for lunch.
Somebody sent me a picture of you this
morning. I would be singing to you.
Which would be fine.
A cappella. He's like, actually, it would have been more of dinner.
You know, we talked to somebody who met Chuck on the flip side, and they were surprised because Chuck was singing with them.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, Chuck, dinner. Boy, amazing.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a picture today of Chuck and his and one of his family members. It was so wonderful to see, and just, you know.
Happy birthday. So they already told you. So showing how the universe works, he made sure that they already knew it. But he made sure that they were not going to miss your birthday.
Okay. All right. So in this point, because people are going to be driving off the road if they hear anything more about me. But I would like to invite somebody forward, Luana. Her first name is Coleman. And Luana, do you know who that is?
Coleman? That's my mother's maiden name.
Well, it's not your mother, but it's somebody named Coleman that I knew. And Luana, do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And does she want to talk to us?
Yeah. I have no idea who she is, audience.
All right. So, Coleman, hello. Welcome.
She's a very, I can't tell if she has a dainty voice, but it's a little soft. It's soft.
Yeah.
Software.
So Coleman, speak up. You're on camera. You're on air. We need to hear from you. Coleman, what was it like when you crossed over? Who was the first person to greet you?
Was she from New York?
Yes.
Okay, she feels like she's from New York, the way she's showing me. And did you stay at her place?
No, I haven't ever been to her.
Or did you watch her dog or something like that? Or take care?
No, we...
Okay.
You're going to have to show Jennifer... But go ahead. Are you showing her a dog that greeted you?
Yeah, she was greeted by several dogs. It felt like she rescued people.
Pets or people? Pets. Yeah. Okay, that too. Well, she was a professor, a teacher.
She felt like that too. With her, did she have black rimmed glasses?
Yes, she did. And she used to teach over at USC.
Okay.
And we met, and we did a session with Scott.
Oh.
Our friend.
Okay.
And Coleman, tell her a little bit about your journey. You had an affliction while you were on the planet. Just show it to Jennifer.
I felt like her bones hurt.
Bones hurt and...
Parkinson's. Parkinson's, okay.
But when you did a session with Scott, your Parkinson's symptoms went away for the 6 hours that we did a session, 4 to 6 hours. It's in the film Hacking the Afterlife. Jennifer's not aware of it.
Yeah.
But in our session, all your symptoms stopped. So talk to us about that a little bit, because now you don't have Parkinson's.
Our minds are pretty powerful.
Okay.
Very powerful.
How can we help people who have Parkinson's to sort of circumvent that or overcome it? What's a valuable insight?
The more you meditate, the more you retrain your brain to act a certain way.
Retrain?
So you're in that, thank you, you're in that meditative state when you're going through, just like when I'm doing this, I'm in that state where they've tracked my heart rate. I have no variable heart rate movement, apparently. And I'm already hearing the jokes, I have no heart. But she's saying that by meditation, you're rewiring your brain, which can really help you with that. And that's kind of what happened for that brief moment. I didn't have any symptoms because I was in a different state of awareness. And if you keep going to that state of awareness, eventually it follows suit.
So is that a valuable thing for people who have Parkinson's to do? I mean, you know, they're trying
absolutely
to find a cure.
And she's also showing me, like, if you treat it like CTE.
Oh, like oxygen therapy, like hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Okay, Jennifer just tapped your nose.
Yeah.
So, Coleman, let me get this straight. You're saying that hyperbaric oxygen therapy might be a tool to use to help with brain damage for Parkinson's.
It absolutely is.
It absolutely is.
It shocks your system.
Wow. Do you know anybody who's using it? Well, Michael J. Fox. Okay, I hope he is. I hope he is. I mean, he has got a group that's working on cures for Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And so, Coleman, I just want to touch base with you about your life. You were a screenwriter.
She said that you guys were very similar. I didn't know if you had similar birthdays or not. But she said you guys...
Well, similar in the sense we both...
You argued a lot.
Well, we both worked in the film business, and, you know, neither one of us are, you know, famous enough for people to know. But you work with somebody really famous. I don't know if you want to put that in Jennifer's mind. Do you? Somebody that you've known for many lifetimes.
Oh, I think he showed me. Is it somebody else that did a past life regression with DeTanville?
No. Huh. Oh, you're thinking of Howard?
Yeah.
You saw Howard. Okay, well, Coleman, have you met Howard? I don't know. Have you? You have? But, okay. But, well, I'm curious about that conversation. What was that like? Howard, somebody I grew up with.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, give me a second, though. But and I got shown Robert Towne.
Okay, so this was a famous writer. Okay. I'm sorry, writer. He's a famous director.
Okay, and so I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know his name.
But he shares the, like Robert Towne.
That's right. He's that famous, Oscar-winning guy. And his first name he shares with the scientist in the wheelchair guy.
Okay.
So yes. I was thinking if he showed up, that would be a way to, you know, to verify. But anyway, aside from Steven Soderbergh, which is his name.
Steven.
You wouldn't be able to recognize him,
I'm sure. Well, Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12.
That's right.
All of
she
them.
Wrote two movies for him.
I knew Jules, his wife.
Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. But I wouldn't have recognized
him. Is there anything you want to say to Steven Coleman?
To make a few more movies. He always likes to be perfect, and it holds him back.
He always likes to be perfect, it holds him back. I know he was helpful to you in your illness.
In everything.
Describe it.
He just gave me everything. She says that he, besides the love and compassion, my brain still worked. He created a space for me to thrive, why I had it.
Created a space for you to thrive while you had it. I know he had had you in a, like he helped you in an apartment complex and places like that because I ran into her. Let me ask you this: what percentage of your conscious energy was in your body while you have Parkinson's?
30%.
Wow, that's a lot. And so as you got closer,
I fought it. She said she fought it to stay.
As you got closer to passing,
2%.
2%. Did you try to call me at
2%.
Some point?
Yeah, late at night. It was like late.
Because I got a couple of phone calls, but nobody could speak. I just thought, oh, maybe that's Coleman trying to reach out to me. Was that you?
One time it was.
One time. Well, that's enough. Yeah. You know, people are always startled to hear what we're talking about, but Coleman's a dear friend who passed away a couple weeks ago.
I didn't know that.
No, sorry. Jennifer wouldn't know that. And I wanted to see if she wanted to come through today because, you know, I know that people helped her. I know that Steven Soderbergh was very helpful in her career and helpful
so
to her.
So interesting because I haven't seen or heard of him in so long and I listened to a podcast with him on it. Like, I don't even know who was interviewing him. That's just so odd to me.
Just recently. Well, I just, and so Coleman, you know, you were an artist, you were a poet, you were a playwright. And when we did our session together, you remembered other lifetimes?
Yeah, she said she had a good life.
And what was it like meeting up with your soul group? Because we talked to them in your podcast.
Exhausting. She's like, I'm exhausted and we don't get tired over here. Exhausting. She's had to listen to all their stories. That's funny. Because I wish I could write a movie, because I'm going to use somebody to write a movie.
Well, Coleman, thank you so much for stopping by. Is there anything else you want to say to people out there, friends of yours?
Don't be afraid to go. Don't be afraid to die is what she said.
Okay. A little dark.
Like, die to stay alive. Like, forget everything that you know and live for who you want to be. It's a very, 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 very short ride here.
Wow. Yeah. Beautifully said.
Wow.
Five, anything, any last words for our audience?
I'm busy.
I'm busy, okay.
Hold on. is he so irritating? Give me a second. What would you expect? I'm in charge of the everything. I know what she said, but he's like, happy birthday, but I don't know why we're saying happy birthday, because it's like, it's all the time. You should be happy all the time. And grateful.
Say?
Be happy and grateful.
Be happy and grateful.
Do the best that you can. Do the best that you can to be happy and grateful. Even in times where you don't feel like it.
Chuck, any last words? I know the movie about you should be coming out soon.
Looking forward to it, he says.
And Luana, last words?
Wish there was a different director.
Me.
You would have made it more cynical.
Okay. All right, very good. How about you, Lou? Anything? Any you want to?
She just kissed you on your forehead.
Very good.
And she just showed me your wife. She's a better medium than she thinks, and she should not give up on that.
Okay, I'll let her know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Oh, and your daughter's going to knock it out of the park, so is your son. Wow. She's already doing everything.
That's great.
Yeah.
She is a force of nature. Well, we'd like to thank everybody, and thanks to Jennifer for this lovely birthday fun podcast, how entertaining. And Chow, just think of the people we just talked to. They're off planet and they're in all realms, and they're in different realms and different places and different time zones, and including, you know, somebody that we love that, like, just stepped off stage.
We really are a grain of sand, like William Blake says, you know. It's so infinitesimal out there. And we get caught up in, and I do too, I get caught, there's been so many things that have happened recently, and my heart's been heavy, but just, I always feel better. And that's why I think, going back to what was said in the beginning, like, don't waste any time not being connected to the other side, because you get so many great feelings and answers if you're open to it, you know? And I'm just going to say this part, a dear friend of mine passed away. And this person came through saying, you know, stop focusing on how I passed. Focus on the fact that I had a great life. And I forget that was just the last part of her life, but she had a spectacular life beforehand. She was showing me, like, the water slide. Remember how you were talking about the water and being immersed in water? Like, the water slide, her as a little girl even. Like, she had so much fun. And we just sometimes focus too much on the way that they passed, or how they passed, or their last year. It's nothing. They get to go over there. And I'm like, you must feel bad for all the people that are feeling bad that you're gone. And she's just like, oh, it's all temporary. It's so interesting to see that. It made me feel so much better. So if I can impart a little bit of wisdom on that, I'm hoping, or they, by the way, not me, but be the conduit for that. It made me feel a little bit better.
But that idea of don't judge the way someone leaves the stage, don't the way people did with Robin Williams or
she's
other people.
She's just laughing, like, of course I was dramatic.
Dramatic departures off stage get a standing ovation.
She said she got a standing ovation.
Well, thank you so much for your friend that stopped by, and as well as all these other guests and people that are part of our podcast.
Happy birthday, Richard.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. We love you.
Bye-bye. This has been Hacking the Afterlife Podcast with Jennifer Schaefer. For more information, jenniferschaefer.com, martinizone.com, or richmartini.com. Hacking the Afterlife documentary is available on Amazon Prime.